previously on Getting the Mecha.
I think the Momoshiki arc, or at least the Momoshiki arcs from both the movie and the anime, have some of my favourite sakuga of a really long time, or at least combat sakuga from a really long time. It manages to insert a key element from Naruto Shippuden and tie that thread into Boruto, which is a really important thing. I think these are all messages and parallels which, although not explicit, are kind of refracted into Boruto somehow.
This is Getting the Mecha, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it.
Welcome back to Getting the Mecha. I'm your host Jamal today, and in today's episode we are looking at the AU arc of Boruto. In previous episodes of the podcast, you know I have spoken about the Shin arc, or the what's described as the Shin arc or the Sarada arc, as well as the Momoshiki arc, and today I want to kind of close up our Boruto analysis with the AO arc. This is the second to last arc of the manga so far, not the last arc ever, but the arc preceding the current arc right now. But because that isn't complete yet, I think it is appropriate to just get on with this arc analysis and then wait for the arc currently in the manga to complete itself, and then I will go on and analyze that. So in today's episode, the AO arc, I want to discuss a few things that we get from this arc, and that is mostly how these ideas in regards to ninja tech and a few other things manage to flow throughout this arc, what the purpose of this arc really is when it comes to the Boruto manga and how it contributes to Boruto's narrative. And then just talking generally about my opinions on this arc and how well it performs, again, for the narrative and the arc which comes after and before it. Before we start this episode, I did say that I will read out a review or a comment every week if there is one, and in this case we do have a comment, and that comes from Sean Burke. Sean says that Jamal is one of the smoothest podcasters around, and with his intelligence and smooth discussion, I think his podcast will make the anime community a better place. Thank you very much for the review. I don't really know what to say. I'm going to just try my best to keep it up, and hopefully my podcast will have some sort of impact as well. I do know that Mr. Burke does have a podcast, and I will try to link that below in the, well, not below, but in the description of the show notes on my blog, as well as the description for this podcast. So if you do want to check out the Geekaya podcast, the link will be in the description for this episode. Another thing before we start the episode is that I have a guest appearance up. This was a podcast which I did at the beginning of the year. It was a discussion with the Macabre Chap at Buildcasters, and we spoke about Hoshinokoe, we talked about anime and getting into it, and all sorts of things. It was a very great discussion. I really enjoyed my time there, and so I recommend checking it out. I will link Buildcasters again in the description and in the show notes for this episode. And so let's get into this episode of Getting the Mecha. This is episode 54 of the show, a look at the AO arc in Boruto. As usual, I will give you my alerts before we get into the analysis, and that will be a spoiler alert for the Boruto manga, the Boruto anime, and the Naruto series. I'm pretty sure that you must have read or watched Naruto plus Naruto Shippuden to be listening to this in the first place, but just know that this is pretty deep content into the entire series, and so I'm going to be speaking about it sometimes with the context of Naruto and Naruto Shippuden in order to make some basic comparisons with Kishimoto's work and just some of the things in there. It's not a side-by-side comparison with Naruto per se. That's never really my intention with these Boruto analyses. But I think there is something to be said and compared when it comes to the works, but not necessarily this competitive fashion. So I will be discussing all of those series that have come before it. This, in fact, might be content ahead of the anime. And so I will say spoilers for the Boruto anime, even though we don't know whether this is going to be included or not. So in summary, that is just spoilers for everything Boruto. I would recommend being caught up, or at least caught up to the AO arc. And just to clarify, the AO arc goes from chapters 16 to 23. And so now let us get into the analysis, and a great way to start that will be with a plot summary of what has happened in this arc. And so here is a plot summary for the AO arc of Boruto. We enter the arc with a discussion between the Kara members. The main thing which they discuss is that a vessel has gone missing. This vessel isn't specified, but all we can say is that a vessel has gone missing, and they are searching for it, and they are very desperate for it. And in order to recover it, they dispatch a quote-unquote outer of the Kara. Meanwhile, the new Team 7 are given a C-rank mission to transport some ninja tech to the lab of Ryuten City. This also means that they will have to transport the scientist Katasuke, who proved to be a problem within the Momoshiki arc, as he was put under a genjutsu by none other than Momoshiki. When they do begin their journey to Ryuten City, they encounter Ayo. Ayo was a member of the Mist Ninjas and played quite a big role in the 4th Great Ninja War arc. However, in the case of Boruto, we find him on the train and he has been partially installed with ninja tech. However, Team 7 has actually been tricked, as little did they know. Ayo was in fact this outer who was tasked with retrieving this vessel which the Kara was discussing. After a series of ninja tech tests which are surprisingly fun, as well as a meeting with Sumire and Katasuke's assistant Akita, the mission ends up being suspended after discovering that Konohamaru, their sensei, has lost contact with the Leaf when going on his latest mission. The Ayo arc in summary involves a battle with Ayo and Team 7, who is then reunited with Konohamaru. This also involves the first appearance of Kashin Koji in front of Boruto and Team 7, and Boruto's first meeting with Kawaki. So that is our mini sort of plot summary for the Ayo arc. There are a few things here and there which I think I did skip out, but it is a rather short arc, I think you can tell from that. There aren't too many details, they're just everything sort of, the information at the beginning really just snowballs and then it builds up into a fight and then we get a few appearances and then the arc sort of ends there. It's not an arc which I think needs to be pushed or analyzed to the maximum extent, but here I am just to give a few of my thoughts on it, because it is still a quite relevant arc when it comes to the entire series. I like to think of it almost as the connector between the Momoshiki arc, which is a brutally important arc, and then the arc which follows, which is the Kawaki arc. I would also say, if we think about the transition from the Momoshiki arc into the Ayo arc, it functions, I did say, as a passage, but also it really is good at developing our understanding when it comes to the positions of our various shinobi. And one of the main things which I want to discuss, and probably the central thing which I want to discuss in today's episode, is the positions on ninja tech, because that is something which is very pre-evolutionary, if you want to call it, or very primitive in the Momoshiki arc. And then that sort of discourse is built up on when it comes to the Ayo arc, and that is something which is, it's still growing when it comes to Boruto. It's very early days. This is a manga which, when this being recorded, has 48 chapters. It's still in its very young days. So these discussions are ones which are still developing, but they are developing at a rather rapid rate, which I want to discuss and address in today's episode. I think a good place to start when it comes to this analysis and look at ninja tech and how that is quite relevant in the Ayo arc is to look at the former position when it comes to Boruto and his position on ninja tech. Boruto's initial position is that ninja tech can be used to his own means, and it can be used for what those own means are, which is recognition from his father. We said in the Momoshiki arc that is his main reason for cheating, and I understand it makes sense. Is it good? Not necessarily. But this train of thought is one which is slightly distorted or completely distorted by the Momoshiki arc, which is a way of showing the potential almost dangers of cheating. Although I wouldn't call it cheating exactly, because it is Momoshiki through bad means as already a quote-unquote bad person doing something for his own benefit. So I don't know if I can call it cheating per se, it's just using power for bad reasons. But it to an extent does show the danger or exemplifies or exaggerates what Boruto was doing in himself. Momoshiki, in his case, is using the chakra fruits from the new divine tree in that dimension in order to enhance his physical abilities. He even does this by eating Kinshiki, someone who is supposed to be one of his own. And I think the main important part is that it comes at the cost of others. Again, it comes at the cost of Kinshiki, it comes at the cost of the village, it comes at the cost of chakra as a whole. Is chakra something to be abused? Not necessarily. Something to be used positively, to some extent, but that is something to be debated. But that is the main sort of debate in the Momoshiki arc is, how should power be used, and should power be used for one's own means and benefit? But by the time we reach the Eiyo arc, this has completely changed when it comes to Boruto. He's almost diametrically opposed to his former position, which was, I can use it because I need to use it for my said goal, which is gain recognition for my father. But afterwards he comes, and now in this arc, he's, I hate ninja tech, this sucks, this is disgraceful, how can he use this? He's almost very outraged by its usage and thinks that it can't be used for any positive means. Boruto, from essentially liking it to now hating it in its entirety, can come across as two ways, and there are two ways I sort of interpreted this. One which was probably a bit of an initial reaction when I was rereading, and then my almost more critical reaction, but I don't mean critical in a bad way, but I'll explain. To some extent, I feel like this can appear initially as rather disjointed. It can seem like an almost lack of nuance to an extent, a lack of nuance in the writing, because it comes across as one event to completely sway this child or sway this character, and it doesn't feel as if he's in a grey area. It doesn't feel as if there is, as I formerly said, any nuance to the situation. It's a very black and white, almost typical battle shonen protagonist position. You're one or the other, you're good or you're on the bad. But then I decided to look back at this and really reevaluate my position on it. And when it is in context, I think it actually is very fair and justified. And I wouldn't really prefer it any other way, to be honest with you. When we consider the fact that Boruto again is a child, he's immature, these are the pre-evolutionary stages of Boruto. Knowing how the anime has teased a time skip and so many more things, this is something which is going to be expansive, this is something which is going to be going on for a long time. And to think that this is the beginning and for it to have a lack of nuance, I think is okay, because this is the seed of everything. This is the pre-evolutionary Boruto, which is a child and has tantrums and doesn't really have any good reasoning skills or amazing reasoning skills. He is supposed to be black and white. He isn't supposed to have that nuance which a slightly older character or a much more experienced character who has been able to have these debates and discussions internally would have. And so I am in favor of this, and that has kind of been me with Boruto a lot of the time. I would initially look at Boruto and I would say that this isn't as good as its predecessor. And again, that isn't the intention of this podcast, but if I just sort of out myself briefly, I would say that I was often criticizing Boruto because it wasn't doing things which I thought were suitable, unlike its predecessor. If we look at the Wave Country arc, an arc which I looked at rather very long ago now, it was trying to form this gray area. That is the leaf entirely good? What is the good which comes with the shinobi if their entire intention is to kill and to gain land and be prosperous but through the means or downfall of others? But just because this narrative isn't doing that, it doesn't mean that it doesn't necessarily mean it's at a pitfall, it's at a disadvantage. It's doing something different, and I need to be able to accept that. I think that can apply to a lot of other people when it comes to judging Boruto as well. But at least if I am to talk about myself, I think that is something, or this entire situation of this very flick of the switch change when it came to the Momoshiki and Eiyo arc, it's something which I have fallen into the trap of doing once again when it comes to the Naruto-Boruto comparison thing. I think I have a lot of faith in Kodachi's writing and how this is going to eventually evolve further. If we think about the Momoshiki arc, it was an attempt, I would say, to build a bit of a grey area, or at least we see these changes in Boruto's personality. And although the transition from Momoshiki to Eiyo arc does feel like a flip of the switch, I think these almost flips will become a lot slower and will become a lot nuanced as we get more data almost and more things to judge on, since there is so much more of this to explore. I did have a bit of an analogy when it came to the Pain of Soul talk, and I was going to go into a whole thing, but I'll just summarize it quickly. I think as the positions evolve when it comes to the characters and their experiences evolve too, we get more of these more interesting situations, these greater grey areas. Good example, as I said, Pain of Soul talk. Pain was ultimately a product of the leaf, a product of the bad practices of the leaf and the shinobi world, which was being at war, and he was a victim of war. The leaf arguably became or was fighting against what they hated. Whoever was in the wrong is something which can be debated for a very long time, but it's the idea that Naruto as a narrative had come so far to have these because it had given us so much more data to eventually enter these, such as the past warring history of the Leaf and the past of pain and such, and everything else. It kind of all came together quite nicely, and that is why we had this very weird situation where Naruto is talking to Nagato at the end of the Pain Assault arc, and they have that sort of discussion, but Naruto doesn't really know where to stand on that because they saw a very similar thing within each other. But I don't really want to get too far into the example. The point is that as the story evolves, I think our positions were evolved, and so I think it's fair to have these much more unnuanced situations and these big character switches. I think this is something which I also thought of, and it's in my notes here, and it's also kind of to do with the Pain Assault arc analogy, so forgive me for stretching this out, but I think this is a similar thing when it comes to Ao. I'm not comparing the almost war trauma of Pain to Ao, although yes, they did both go through war, and yes, they could have both gone through trauma, but I don't have enough things to clarify how much Ao went through besides the events of the war arc. However, I do think Ao, similarly to Pain, is almost metaphorically the you become what you hate, or you create what you hate. Ao was perceived as the good person, but with ninja tech and everything which has changed in the world, the Leaf is able to generate their own enemies. They are the seeds of their own destruction, which I am very excited to look forward to when it comes to the rest of this show, and this manga to be specific. I think this is a very good example of narrative and plot points having consequences, and I'm in a weird position when it comes to that. I don't want to get into it, but it's not something I agree with in its entirety. But this is a good example of an almost 50-50. The concept exists, but the concept also has downfalls as well, which I think is very fair to introduce at a time like this. My next point, which is hopefully a bit more concrete, relates to the flow of ideas in this arc. And this is something I think to be praised. I did talk about the flow of ideas vaguely when it came to the flick of the switch when it came to Boruto's personality between the Ao and Momoshiki arc, or vice versa. But how does this main idea, ninja tech, which does have many offshooting ideas, but how does this flow individually throughout the arc, and how do we get a good sense and understanding of the concepts by the time we leave? We did just previously discuss the internal debate that is Boruto and his position on ninja tech, but there is a wider debate which comes out of it as well, and that is sort of Boruto's position. I'm not saying Boruto's debating the world or anything, this isn't some political debate, but we do have this positional, if you want to call it, debate between Boruto's beliefs and the what we can assume to be the wider beliefs of the shinobi world, and then the beliefs of the Kara. So it's a 1v1v1. Boruto's belief is ninja tech is bad, it's not a good representation of strength. And then we have the wider world, which seems to be that ninja tech can be used for good. It does have potential for destruction, but it can be used as a good means for enhancing strength, and can be also used for good means as well. Katasuke made a very good example of being able to absorb attacks for the benefits of saving more lives. And Naruto also makes the case for it at the beginning of the arc when he fights Boruto, and then afterwards he makes the case for it being good for enhancing strength, and can be used again for our positive means, not negative means, but that will be something that I believe will evolve later on. And then we have the almost new Momoshiki argument, or supplement the Kara in for Momoshiki's argument, which is ninja tech, although Momoshiki wasn't ninja tech per se, but ninja tech can be used for our own means. It is made and we will use it and abuse it for our own purpose, as opposed to it is used entirely for selfish means and self-gain. And I think these ideas flow very nicely for a very short arc, which doesn't have many chapters to achieve its goal almost, which is introduce a lot of new elements for the Kawaki arc, but also carry through a lot of the debates which stem from the Momoshiki arc. I think it does bring them together into a nice package. I think the ideals clash quite nicely when we look at the battle between Boruto and, okay, it's technically Boruto plus Team 7, but let's just keep it Boruto. Boruto and Ayo, that fight is not only a physical fight because it's a one-on-one antagonism, it's not because, and only because Ayo is an outer and his intention is to retrieve the vessel at any cost, and that will involve stopping Team 7 from doing so. But what confuses it, or at least in the good sense, adds another layer to it, is the differing positions on Ninja Tech, which were already established on the train. This being, Ninja Tech can be used for your own positive means, the almost wider view, versus Boruto, which is, this is wrong. I think Ayo's position's a bit more interesting because we don't really know his exact position. And even why he's doing this isn't made exactly clear. But he's using it from what seems like his own means, because he's an outer from the Kara, but at the same time he does establish on the train that we can use this for positive things, as shown by his own body. I'm a very big fan of these, and this is something I kind of spoke about when it came to My Hero. It's not deeming these people as bad people because they're bad people. And it's not slap-banging some sort of ideology because it needs to be there, or it feels like it's been slap-bang on or superimposed on the character. This is something I kind of spoke on when it came to the Shihasaki arc, or the overall arc. I would recommend that episode. But in the case of this arc, I would say that it feels a lot more natural because it's established already, and it isn't because simply, it is because Ayo stands in their way, yes. But it feels like there's a lot more to prove already, which I think just adds a lot more depth to the reasoning behind the battle and doesn't feel as if it's this, we must fight him because he stands in our way. We need to fight him because, well, I need to fight him because we have some sort of clashing ideals already. Our positions differ, and that is something which needs to be resolved through combat. Again, if we return to this notion of the flow of ideas, I think the antagonism is kind of the last part in my flowchart. I would say that it flows very well because it's established at the beginning as Ninja Tech being used versus someone that doesn't like Ninja Tech, so already differing or conflicting ideals. And then we have the Ninja Tech test at the lab, which skews it a bit more because it's showing that these can be used positively. These can be used and are practiced, or are being tested for positive means. And then it's all put to a test in the antagonism, which is already a differing view of how these can be used. To move on from that point, and this isn't really to do with how the ideas flow, but I really do like the tone or the emphasis which comes from this arc, as well as Boruto as a whole. It's something which I've been enjoying a bit more of. It is kind of a bit of a comparison to its predecessor, but it's that emphasis on support and what it means not necessarily to be the central or the leading role. Ninja Tech generally has this notion of support. It's a further attachment of yourself rather than you. It's not you, it's an extension of you. And Boruto's entire emphasis revolves around this, and it's not only just within Ninja Tech, but it's being within the role of a supporter rather than the leading figure. This is something which I got a lot more of when it came to Naruto, because the entire intention of it is Naruto's goal to become the Hokage. And in order to do that, he must be, or must take up that center stage role. And that involves everything from saving Sasuke to risking his life for an entire village, because that is what he wanted to do from the first place, or in the first place. I guess one of the main things when it comes to the Ayo arc and Boruto as a whole is how much support, or quote-unquote support, is too much. That is seen in the Momoshiki arc, which is what Boruto perceives as over the line. Not necessarily support, because that word comes across as a bit wishy-washy when we think of someone using a chakra fruit as support, but at least what is going over the line. And using Ninja Tech for negative means, as the Kara have done in the case of Boruto's mentality, is over the top. Additionally, support can be viewed negatively. Support is often seen as this positive thing, that you're supporting someone, this is good, but Boruto tries to explore, it seems to be trying to explore, where support can actually be a negative factor for anybody. And again, Momoshiki arc proves this, as well as the Ayo arc, that support isn't always in one's favor, it's at least not always a good thing to be happy and ecstatic about. Then we have the conclusion, and I don't have too much to say in the conclusion. It's quite to the point. It's we find Kawaki on the floor. He is the supposed vessel which we've been going for, or who Ayo has been searching for, and also Kashin Koji as well. These are just two seeds which are planted in, I can't really dispute them, in very normal fashions. We meet them, they make their case for kind of what they want. Well, not really Kawaki because he can't speak, but his existence is in itself rather important for the Boruto anime, such manga as a whole, and Kashin Koji makes his appearance and says that he wants Kawaki, and he does not like Team 7 or the Leaf to some extent, from the way it seems anyway. I don't think there really would be a better way for transitioning into an arc which is centric around Kawaki without introducing Kawaki, and so I am happy with the way it ended. And on the whole, if we are to just consider how it started at the beginning and how it started at the end to just evaluate this entire arc, I think it structurally is very nice. It doesn't have... There is a slight disconnect between what I said, which is the flick of the switch in Boruto's personality, but I think that's justified. So if we take that out of the equation, I think it starts very well, ends very well, it transitions smoothly. This is a decent arc in my opinion. The final thing I want to talk about briefly, mostly because I rarely speak about it when it comes to manga, is art and how the flow of ideas relates to its art as well, and just generally why I do like the art of this arc from Ikemoto. If I briefly sort of sidestep to paneling, I would say that I have always been a fan of not only just Ikemoto, this is a series supervised by Kishimoto, but I would say that the precedent that's been set, which is simple paneling, a precedent which has been set by Kishimoto, I really do like how that has been carried on in Boruto. Generally, I have never really had a problem with Kishimoto's paneling. I know some are critical of it and say that it's too simple, but as I've heard, and I'm not really prepared to give sources right now, but I have heard that Kishimoto does that intentionally, or did it intentionally, for easy reading. And I like that. I don't think you can really go very wrong with simplicity. And I've always found the flow of ideas, when I say flow of ideas, more in relation to combat. I really like how those flow in this arc as well, and it really shows. We're able to just get a really big sense of what's going on all the time within a fight, because the way these are paneled, it will be a big rectangle to show a Rasengan, or the flame almost which hit Konohamaru, that was shown nice and clearly in a big rectangular panel. And so this might be a bit of a very basic point, but I do think simplicity is best when it comes to paneling for my personal taste. I have read other manga, and I'm not saying that I don't like that paneling either. I think there are very creative means of paneling, but I don't think paneling is something to be very critical of when it's simple, because it gets it done. And with narrative fights which have a degree of complexity, it's often jutsu call out into jutsu, clash of jutsus, flying into one another, not flying, but at least blasting into each other at high speeds. That happens quite a bit with the Kawaki arc, but it does happen even here as well. I would say that it's just very convenient to have simple paneling in this case. If we just continue on about how we have these precedents which are set by Kishimoto when it comes to arts as well, and not really to discredit from Ikemoto, I think Ikemoto is a very good artist, and I don't want to put them under the shadow of Kishimoto, because I want Ikemoto to be their own artist as well. But I would say that there have been some precedents set when it comes to the art style of Masashi Kishimoto, and one of them has to be the level of detail. I did cover many of Kishimoto's one-shots in earlier podcasts, and so I've kind of started to pick up on the things which Kishimoto does and how that has sort of carried into Boruto as well. One of them has to be these small details. There is a lot of emphasis on small detail rather than the macro detail. Good example would be when there are smoke effects when Kashin Koji makes his first appearance in front of Team 7, and the way this is done is through very good shapes, and as always we get a lot of good almost detail and rendering on the floor as well as some of the backgrounds, but it's never really shading loads on the smoke, because I would say that that sometimes does feel a bit distracting. And with the main focus of this part being the frog's entrance and emergence, it really does take away from it if you have too much detail in the smoke, for example. I think the approach for Boruto is really simplicity is the core of the experience, and I've always enjoyed that from reading the early Naruto volumes and chapters all the way up to now. It's something which I thank Kishimoto and I now thank Ikemoto for. And with that, that is the analysis for this week. I don't have too much to say when it comes to this arc. It's a very short arc for Boruto when you consider how long the next arc is and the Momoshiki arc, which has its own movie and phase and everything. So I don't think it would be very productive if I go on for much longer. So with that, let's get into the In The Moment segment for this week. And this is one which I wouldn't really do. I'm very excited to talk about this one. So let's get into the segment for this week. If you are new to the podcast, the In The Moment segment is as simple as it gets. What I do is I talk for like 5 or 10 minutes about something I've been reading or watching recently. And in this case, I have taken the plunge. If you have been following me on Twitter, I do recommend it, at GetInTheMecha, shameless plug. I have been reading One Piece. I apologize for that. I apologize for laughing. I'm not memeing One Piece. It's just a few podcasts ago, I did say that I probably won't be getting into One Piece for a long time, although I will be watching these movies without context. And then recently, I was surfing eBay after I was inspired by a tweet of someone who got a lot of bleach for very cheap. I don't know if they got it on eBay or anything, but they got a lot of bleach for a very cheap price, legitimately just from a secondhand dealer online. And so I decided to look on eBay for manga because I heard that it's actually a pretty good place to get manga in physical form. And so I managed to get a bundle of One Piece for a pretty good price, about half the price that I would if I was to pay retail if they were fresh, and these did come fresh. And so I decided to start the One Piece journey. And if I'm completely honest, I'm enjoying it. I am on volume 3 at the moment. The first two which I have are both 3-in-1s, and then I have a bunch of singles, and then it goes back to 3-in-1s. But I'm on volume 3 right now. We're in Orange Town, and things are going well. I don't know what to expect. Weirdly enough, I don't actually know that many One Piece spoilers, or at least the big crucial ones, unlike anime or manga like Hunter x Hunter, which I know quite a bit about already. Even though that's not what I'm going in for, it's something which has maybe taken a bit from the experience, knowing, say, what happens in the Kimura and Hawk, etc. But One Piece, I'm going in basically blind. I've heard things here and there, but I don't really know what's actually happening. All I know is that people say that this is one of, if not the best manga of all time, and I'm willing to test it, and that is really where the intrigue comes from. I think I've often had this approach where it feels like I've restricted or stopped myself from enjoying a piece of media because it's too long, and there isn't anything inherently wrong with doing that, and I know that there are people that have that same opinion as me and have had that same opinion as me, and I'm not faulting anyone for it. I think on my part, I disagree with it a bit now just because it's not really about catching up. It's just about enjoying how much there is and getting really sucked in. I think a lot of the time with anime now, how I'm not watching the anime, just to say, but when we have this seasonal formula, which is very, you watch something for 12 episodes and then forget about it a year later or two seasons later, and then rotate. Besides a few shows, not many of them stand out, and I think being invested in something in the long term is something which I think will be good for me, just to get really sucked into something rather than jump from one to one. And so that is the In The Moment segment for this week. I don't want to give you all my opinions because who knows, maybe I'll be making One Piece arc content someday in the future. When people are always like, oh, did you read One Piece? Oh my gosh, like One Piece, Oda's doing so good. I've kind of reached my limit where I want to see what this is all about. I'm not really doing it to follow the crowd, it's just something to get into. And especially with how the world is at the moment, I wouldn't really mind getting sucked up in a good book, even if that's a 985 chapter book at the moment. So that is really my One Piece journey statement. So with that being done, let's just go to closing thoughts. I'll briefly review or evaluate what I've said so far, and then we can wrap up the show for this week. So, what do I think of the AO arc? I think the AO arc is a rather competent arc now I look back at it. I think it is hard to judge whether this is better than the Momoshiki arc, just because I think it serves a very different purpose to the Momoshiki arc. The intention of the Momoshiki arc is to plant a seed, to bring Boruto into this crazy life which is karma and the curse mark and everything surrounding it. It's not a curse mark technically, I just wanted to use a sort of term similar to it, don't get those mixed up. It definitely has a different emphasis to the Momoshiki arc, but it still performs nonetheless with what it has to do. I think Boruto is still a very early work, but as we move forward, I think it's doing a good job in introducing these debates that we can get sucked into. Thank you for listening to this episode of Guest in the Mecha. That has been episode 54. I really did enjoy this episode, and I really actually did enjoy this arc when I was rereading it. I really didn't know what to expect previously, but now I'm very happy with it, and I'm very on board when it comes to Boruto, at least the manga anyway. But thank you for listening, I hope you did enjoy it. As usual, I'm not really sure when I'm going to record next week, but when it comes, it comes. However, one thing you can do this week is listen to the Billcasters episode. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, we had a really nice discussion about Hoshi no Koe by Makoto Shinkai, the difference between millennials and zoomers when it comes to getting into anime, and a whole load of other things. It was a really nice podcast to get into, and I do recommend it. Check out Billcasters. Also, be sure to check out the Geek Hour podcast as well. That will be in the description for this episode. But that has been the show for this week. Have a great one. Have a great day. Have a great week. Month. It's 2020. You guys know it, how it works. I have been your host, Jamal, today, and this has been Guest in the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows. 8-bit title screen by Joth. Mandatory Overtime by Joth. Difference by Chasers Gaming, Forever by Alex McCulloch, and Anomaly by Eric Medeiros _soundimage.org.